Jonathan Smeaton's in studio with us to join live, joining us live. Hi, Jonathan. How alive are you this Saturday morning?
I'm alive. I'm perfect. I've been up since 6 o'clock worrying about this.
Have you really?
No.
You normally have a wingman, don't you?
Normally, Billy would be about, and there's a couple of other boys would be on here. This is the first time I've been in the studio on my own.
It's great to have you in, yeah. And to take your stabilisers off.
Well, the stabilisers, yeah. Well, I've got my glasses off too.
People probably know your story. I know you've been on with Jimmy and Paul, yeah. And what have you, but there's no harm letting our audience know. You've been at this crack singing and writing songs since the age of 12.
Mm. Or even earlier.
It's young to be writing.
No.
Isn't
when
it?
When I was very young in Dublin, I remember coming home from our worship on Sunday, and the radio came on, and Bob Dylan was playing Lay, 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 and you just go, wow. That was one of the big moments, and you go, it was just the music, and you find out you can write this stuff yourself. I tortured my father to buy me a guitar. Nobody teach me, so I taught myself. Simple.
And that's all at a very young age. Were you independent, generally speaking, then?
No, I'm very insecure and I lean on people. And yeah. I'm the usual musician, very insecure. But
because, look, I think the music, there's children listening to music, think it's hugely important. And I've had my fellas listen to it from day dot. Now, don't try and influence them and let them pick their stuff. And if they hear some of my stuff and they like it, but I just can't imagine them sort of like hearing a song and being so inspired as you are, you know what I mean? But
that's just one of those
it's a great
moments,
story.
And I was really lucky. I have an uncle in Dublin that was really into music on a big scale, into classical music. I sang in a choir in Belfast, a church choir. Would be across the board music-wise.
Mm.
There's very little I wouldn't listen to.
I think, you know, people can be a bit snobbish on music, and it's so restrictive if you are, because I'm sure all different genres you can borrow from to some extent and
definitely
put it into yours. You know, good music is good music, whether you like that.
Good music is brilliant.
Yeah.
And people listen to music with their eyes. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, and you said you were involved with the choir in Belfast,
yeah,
did you?
The St. George's Choir.
I've chatted to quite a few musicians on this show, and that pops up quite an awful lot.
I love it.
Not that particular choir, but, you know, generally speaking.
I told this story before with Paul. What happened, I was about 2 years old. My father was a lay preacher. He hadn't got his collar, so to speak. And we were singing in church. And Mommy told me years later that everybody else stopped singing, and you kept singing. And we knew you were different.
Yeah.
Because you were singing Yellow Submarine. And I was only maybe 2 or 3 years old. And that's the way it, that's always the way of it.
When you're writing now, or even throughout the course of your musical career, have you drawn from life experiences generally? I was chatting to someone in here, a younger person, and they wrote their own music, and they were, I think, 13 or 14.
Yeah.
And I was curious as to what sort of, you know, I didn't want to be patronising, and I wasn't, I don't think, but what are you drawing on at that stage of your life to be writing about, or are you just sort of...
when you're young, I think I was just trying to be Bob Dylan, and I was trying to be somebody else, and then it does evolve. It does evolve in its own way. And my father would write poetry. And seeing him writing, I didn't want to write poetry, because I wanted to have a guitar, maybe to hide behind as well, but that's where it comes from. But now... I was thinking about it today, if they ask me these questions, what I say, and it is a bit like a train that comes around.
Mm.
And I don't get up. I know Nick Cave has a shed at the bottom of his garden. He goes down at 9 o'clock every morning, writes songs till 1 o'clock, has a break for lunch, and then goes down till 5 o'clock. And that's not the way it works for me.
I don't.
I couldn't work
out. Yeah, because you hear about bands too locking themselves away in some rural holdout for a week to write an album. And
cash.
I'm just wondering, you're sort
they're
of.
Taking that, drugs.
Yeah, but at that stage, you're probably just trying to get stuff to rhyme rather than, you know, something having a. But it probably works for some people.
It does work, but I find. I explained it to Paul, and I'll reiterate it again, and everybody will laugh out there, but your head is a bit of a toilet, and it fills up, and sometimes you have to flush it. And that's
end up in the sewer. I
mean, some of the stuff gets through to one side, and then some songs stick in my head.
And you're involved in a very strong, vibrant musical community here. We're blessed at the moment.
Big time. It's always been that way. I think it's always been that way, but it's never had a platform.
Right.
There's always been people in that way, and... You know, the likes of Declan, Rory, John Muldowney, Billy, Percy. I could go on and on and on. If I leave anybody out, tough. But it's got a platform now, and people aren't afraid as much afraid, especially of writing their own stuff, expressing themselves.
Yeah, because, you know, when someone finishes playing a song, we have some brilliant acts on this show, and it's the same with Paul and Jimmy. And, you know, it's genuine. You go, wow, that was absolutely brilliant. Mm. And you feel like you're just saying it, oh, that's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But I wouldn't say it was absolutely brilliant if it wasn't. Do you know that sort of thing? But it's just the quality, all different generations, different backgrounds, different ages, you know, and it's genuinely, wow, that really was...
Well, I actually think, like, not being a Donegal person, I'm going to stick my neck out and say that Donegal is a wee bit up in the corner.
Of course we are, yeah.
But it's kind of like boiling down a soup. It gets better and better and better. A wee bit isolation. Maybe I'm saying the wrong thing, but it's lovely.
And another thing, too, I've picked up on, and I'm not in the scene and I wouldn't pretend to be either, but there is a great camaraderie between everyone, as opposed to sort of like competition or...
Well, there's competition there.
But healthy competition.
Healthy, good, healthy egos. I
mean, you know, but you'd like, everyone name checks each other and everyone, you know what I mean? So anyway, listen, Jonathan, what are you going to play for us first?
I don't know. What do you want to hear?
I don't know.
I want to play this.
And we'll talk about your album after this.
In case we run out of time.
No, we'll be okay.
This is a song called Anonymous Star. I'd never had it. We just call it the Christmas song. And I was meant to play at a Christmas thing maybe 2 or 3 years ago with Christmas trees. And I thought, I'd really love to write a really lovely Christmas song about Christmas trees and candles and children singing. And I took a left turn somewhere along the line. And I ended up writing about, in the third person maybe, just a guy dying in the street at Christmas time. And watching people walking past him at eye level and watching their shoes and saying, those shoes would feed me for a week, but he dies in the street. And I think it was a wee bit in the news that there was a guy died 100 yards away from the doll.
That's right.
And that kind of pushed me on. And that is just a spark, and the whole thing just lit. You write the song in about 3 minutes.
All right, let's listen
to it then. So we'll go for it.
Brilliant.
And this is a nod to Joshua, my son, who named this song, because I couldn't get a name for it, and it's just Anonymous Star.
Was aware of the inevitability of his situation.
Obviously, but it really funny with some of the songs I write. They're there in front of me, and I really don't know what they're about until maybe I wrote one song, and I really, it was a bit of, with a thread of a really good friend of mine died of cancer, but I didn't really understand the song for about 2 years. And I've heard people saying it before, that they can write stuff without really thinking, and it just comes out.
Mm. There is a I think free writing, they call it, isn't it, where it's a form of sort of counselling.
Yeah, well,
and I'm not suggesting. No, but I'm not suggesting.
Well, I would need a bit of that.
But I'm just, but I'm just wondering if in a way it's good for you to sort of vent, because I mean, super. It's no coincidence the song ended up being about a very personal thing that you cared very much about, and then you realise, you know, so maybe it's subconscious free writing, you know.
I've always written, always had books, always books laying around the house, always writing, always putting stuff down. Doesn't matter how bad or good it is, just fire it down. And it's cathartic.
Yeah.
It is counselling.
Do you ever look at your stuff earlier in your career, right back, and do you sort of then sort of say, oh, right, I clearly was in this place at that time where I can see...
No, I've always been a bit mad. So it's kind of...
We all are, and I think you need to.
You just move through the glue slowly, you know.
Mm. Now, I have in front of me an album. When did this come out? It's an EP or an album? It is an album. Ten's an album, isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe 2 years ago. Maybe there's no date on it. About 2 years ago.
No. Why does there have to be a date on it? Yeah, anyway, it's still there.
No, I didn't put much on it. I was playing with Billy over the summer, just two of us.
Billy Robinson.
Yeah, and Billy would be well-travelled with various people. He worked with Mary Black for a long time and various other people. If he was here, he'd tell you himself. But we just decided to go into his studio. And he is a masterful engineer, and I'll give his ego a wee rub, but he is very, very good in the
you
studio.
You see some people at it, you think...
No, he's good at it.
You know, you go, right, this person knows really what they're on about.
Like, to be honest, it's not just technical. He brought the best out on it. Mm. I had a few songs written. He said, right, we'll fire them down. Literally 4 days in the studio and a couple of weeks messing about. Really lucky to have Mary Black on it. Patter, Orla, Percy, Lawrence and John Lawrence, all the people that were there, brilliant.
Good.
It's just like a big family.
Look forward to playing a few songs from it. It ends up being, it's your album, but it ends up being sort of owned by loads of people, I suppose, doesn't it? Because everyone
it
has
does.
Their...
You have to give a nod to everybody, because it doesn't... I don't think I could carry it myself, I'm not that kind of person.
Has there been much change in the gigging scene in that, you know, audience more receptive, maybe pubs and bars or what have you are prepared to book artists, that a lot of it will be their own material? I mean, is there more options in that regard now, or does it go up and down, or is it...
Depends, you know, if you're playing in a pub, as you are, you're working, you understand, it's not... You have to wipe the ego to one side, you're working.
Yeah.
So you have to do the show.
Mm.
I'm really lucky now that I feel confident in my own songs and I can fire them in. But I don't decorate them or ice them, I just play them.
Yeah.
If they like them, they like them. If they don't, they don't. I'm well able to play a lot of covers as well.
Yeah.
Really enjoy playing. Find it, as you said, a form of self-counselling or cathartic. I really enjoy playing.
Yeah,
really
and you know, I'm sure you have your own take on the covers that you're doing as well. So that, you know,
I leave all the hard bits out.
Yeah, and there's people be playing your music, and it's a cycle, and it's fine.
Yeah.
Have you anything coming up that people could know about that we?
If you're chatting about playing in Wembley, no, but you'll. I'm always about playing. I'm
Excellent.
Always playing. I like to be out playing. I'm over in Buncrana tonight with our fella, and I think my mate Billy's coming back, and well, there's a few things happening over Christmas, but it's local. You know, I have this thing going around in my head about if the petrol ran out and if there were no cars, everybody would have to be back in their communities. I know it sounds idyllic and nonsense, but I think we're losing...
But is that not really just...
I think we're losing... We've been too globalised.
I think, though, maybe you're just happy where
I'm
you're
happy
at.
I'm happy in my own wee space.
You know what I mean?
You know, I am.
But I do know what you're saying. You know, like, you do talk to some people and they're reaching for the stars.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they can't... all these metaphors, but they can't see the wood for the trees then, because, you know, you have to start off somewhere. I mean, some people can get a lucky break, but at the end of the day, you have to work to where you want to go, don't you?
I am happy that... What was I doing? I was doing something yesterday. And somebody said, I really love that song that you do on that CD. That's enough.
Yeah.
That's
a nice
that is
thing.
Enough.
What are you going to play for us finally, Jonathan?
This is a song, there's no name for it. And I've got the words in front of me here. And
is it new, or you just never got around to naming it?
No, it's fairly new. And it's one of those songs that has no... I'm not really sure what it's about.
Well, let's listen to it.
And it
we'll
says
see.
I in it, but the I could be... The Royal Eye or the Royal Wee. I don't really know.
You're going to have to get on to your son for another title.
Well, I don't know. He's down in Dublin. He's studying psychology. He says when he gets finished, he'll sort me out. But I don't know what this is about. It's just nice words in it, and I like it. And I was changing words in there. I had to borrow a pen off Marianne.
Wow.
I'll have a go at it. No, it is 12 o'clock and my voice mightn't be the best. I never thought I'd turn around to see the face I see. Never thought I'd hear the words that would finally set me free. Trying to hold my heart and catch each and every beat. No one answers anymore. I stand with my defeat. Caught down in the cold deep canyons of your love, waiting for some help to come from up above. Now that I can see the sky when it's so far away, your passion will not let me breathe with the price I've had to pay. No warmth, no rhyme, no reason, let me out or let me in. No one points that finger till they stand without a sin. Caught down in the cold deep canyons with your love, waiting for some help to come from up above. There's no cure, no drug to help and ease the hurt. The ground is dark and I stumble back to where I heard it first. Give the knots a little twist and sharpen up that blade. The future never comes unless the price for peace is paid. Caught down in the cold deep, the canyons with your love, waiting for some help to come from up above. There you go.
Superb, Jonathan. You kind of made a distinction earlier between your father writing poetry and what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I wonder, is there really that big a difference between it other than the guitar?
I have my own theory on it. You can listen to music and it can make you cry. Just music with no words. And you can listen to poetry and it can make you cry with no music. I think when you put the two together, it's extremely, extremely...
And we're seeing the recognition of that. In fact, it's Bob Dylan's getting his
it's contentious, but...
It's recognition that... Songwriting is poetry. You know, whether it's your thing or your bag or not, I mean, it's there. And you also seem to put everything yourself into every song that you do. Well, performing.
Yep. Well, you write songs, you have to get under the skin and you really, really have to love them. You not love them, but you really have to get involved in them. You can't be detached. It becomes robotic and stuff like that if you don't do it right, I think.
Well, Jonathan, it's been real. It's been authentic. And we really appreciate
there's
you.
There's a little Santa in front of me as well. Well, he's staring
You're
at Greg.
You're just delighted it's over.
He's staring at Greg, yeah. No. I'm worrying about what I would say on the radio.
Listen, you're perfect. And not one swear word. I'm so proud of you. And tonight in Buncrana, it's a gig.
Yeah,
we're over in
college in Buncrana with a guy called Stuart Milligan, who I think is related to Spike Milligan, but maybe he'll. But that'll be.
I live by Spike Milligan. I'm stealing it off him. A bit of a hypochondriac, you know. And on his grave.
Oh, you saw mine.
Oh, yeah.
I told you I was sick.
Exactly. Yeah. I've got that. That's definitely going to be on mine because eventually I'm going to be right. It's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. But anyway, listen. That's for another day. Thank you so much. An absolute treat. And
you'll be back on. Say hello.
You'll be back on, I'm sure, on Highlands in the not too distant future.